Every so often, history hands us a moment that feels almost tender in hindsight. A moment built on trust, on authority, on the quiet assumption that if something is said calmly enough by the right voice on a respectable program, then surely it must be true. It's not about foolishness, really. It's about faith. The kind of faith that settles in after dinner, switches on the television, and assumes the world is operating more or less as advertised.
History is messy,
weird, wild, anything but boring.
We're rainy day rabbit holes,
exploring the unhinged side of history, politics, and culture.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
We like to imagine that gullibility is a modern problem, that it arrived sometime after the internet, riding in on a tide of pop-ups and push notifications. But gullibility has always been with us. It just used to wear a hat, like in the 50s.
Okay, I was going to say it, like the Pope.
Just kidding. If you put information in the right setting, delivered confidently, spoken slowly, wrapped in the familiar cadence of expertise, most of us don't interrogate it. We absorb it. We nod along. We maybe even tell someone else about it the next day. Because belief isn't always about ignorance. Often it's about comfort, about wanting the world to make sense, about trusting that no one would look straight into the camera and lie to you about something as wholesome and agricultural as dinner. So, with our critical thinking briefly set aside, let's walk calmly and confidently into one of the most famous pieces of televised nonsense ever broadcast.
Okay. The whole time I was just thinking, is this a story about us?
People told in the right voice.
Confidently.
Confidently. And people just believe us?
Yes.
They're like, we heard it on your show. It must be true.
Oh, no shame. You're ruining us, too.
I mean, that would be my final act before I die.
Ruining everything.
Welcome to 5 Minute Friday. Okay, so today we don't have a newspaper article. Instead, we have a Wikipedia article. Okay, so I'm just literally reading the Wikipedia page this.
That somebody entered. I love it.
This is the spaghetti tree hoax.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this one?
No, not at all. Okay. I've never heard of a spaghetti tree or a spaghetti tree hoax.
So I'm actually going to skip past the little, you know, like immediate Wikipedia summation.
Yeah, please.
Because it kind of ruins it.
And the ask for money. Skip past that.
I did give them $3 one time.
Did you?
Yes. I'm a sucker.
Because they made a page for you?
No, I'm just kidding. I know. We don't have a page yet. Somebody going to make a page for us?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Hey, speaking of, before we get started, speaking of somebody making a page for us, I bet I know somebody that might do it out of the goodness of their hearts. So we have a super fan.
I know. I'm super excited about this.
So we have a super fan, Tina, who has been messaging with me for the last couple of weeks. I want to say she said she went through all of our episodes in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, Tina.
She did say she listened to us on 1.5 speed. I was like, we must spell like deranged hamsters.
Yes, yes. That's I'm going to do that just for fun now.
I can't imagine my voice on 1.5 speed. I do edit on 1.25 speed just to speed it up a little bit. But yeah. So Tina, thank you. She found us through Live, Laugh, Larceny, because apparently she gave Live, Laugh, Larceny the same treatment, like start at the beginning and then just hustled through all the episodes and found us when we did our crossover episode with them last fall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then found us. And then she said, hold on, I'm going to say what she said about here. Okay, yes, it's just maybe 2 to 3 weeks is how long it took. And she said, oh, this was right. I shared Napoleon's bunny apocalypse with one of my partners, and he was wildly amused. I like that. Wildly amused. I love this. She says, sometimes I'll be listening and hear you say something like, I don't know if you remember Stadium High School I talked about a while back. And I'll think, what are you talking about, Shay? You just told me about this last week.
Yeah. When you binge listen.
Yeah. And then I realized that in real time, it was a while, and I'm consuming these in an ungodly fast binge. I love it. She loved the, you know, what really chaps my ass segment. So she said in Lenin statue episode, I heard Jew shop instead of juice shop. Because I remember you thought I said Jew shop too. I said juice shop.
I love that she's sending you notes.
She is. And it's funny because you could tell like what episode she's on because she'll just send me, in all caps, painted moose poop drops for the skies.
I love it.
Oh God, Shay, you said she had a juicy booty and that you'd eat it. I think everyone in my warehouse heard me cackle. I love you too. So, okay. So the thing is that she's somebody who obviously appreciates
our humor,
our dumb 15-year-old boy humor. So thank you so much, Tina. Really
You're
appreciate.
One of us, Tina. You're
oh,
clearly
my
one
God.
Of us.
Yes. Yes. So sweet. Anyway. Okay. So that's our shout out to Tina. Okay. Here we go. We're into the spaghetti tree hoax. Let's go. The news report was produced as an April Fool's Day joke in 1957 and presented a family in the canton of Ticino in southern, and I think I'm saying that correctly, T-I-C-I-N-O, Ticino, in southern Switzerland, gathering a bumper spaghetti harvest after a mild winter and virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil.
What?
Footage of a traditional harvest festival was aired along with a discussion of the breeding necessary to develop a strain to produce the perfect length of spaghetti.
What?
Some scenes were filmed at the now closed Pasta Foods factory on London Road, St. Albans in Hertfordshire, and at a hotel in Castagnola, Switzerland. Panorama cameraman Charles D. Jaeger dreamed up the story after remembering how teachers at his school in Austria teased his classmates for being so stupid that if they were told that spaghetti grew on trees, they would believe it.
Oh, okay.
The editor of Panorama, Michael Peacock, told the BBC in 2014 how he gave De Jaeger a budget of 100 pounds and sent him off. The report was made more believable through its voiceover by respected broadcaster Richard Dimbley. Peacock said Dimbley knew they were using his authority to make the joke work and that Dimbley loved the idea and went at it eagerly. At the time, 7 million of the 1.5 million homes in Britain had television receivers. Pasta was not an everyday food in 1950s Britain, and it was known mainly from tinned spaghetti and tomato sauce and considered by many, yeah, gross, to be an exotic delicacy. Probably the real thing, not the tinned spaghetti. And
that's where the Chef Boyardee right. was created.
Oh, God, that stuff's so gross. An estimated 8 million people watched the program on April 1st, 1957, and hundreds phoned in the following day to question the authenticity of the story or ask for more information about spaghetti cultivation and how they could grow their own spaghetti trees.
Wow.
The BBC told them to place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce
no.
and hope for the
yeah,
best.
Keep on hoping.
And that...
So my thought, though, sometimes is like... If I'm listening to somebody I already trust and they're telling me these things, I'm going to give it some thought.
Where, right.
Like if somebody just said that to me, like while you were reading it, I'm like, what are they talking about? It's like you make it out of flour and eggs and stuff. Like right. there's no tree. Anyway, but like if you're listening to somebody that you really trust, you're going to give that half a thought. Like, wait a minute, am I missing something? Did I forget there is a spaghetti tree? Like, oh yeah. Like, yeah. Did my neighbor have a spaghetti tree? Is that why they had so much spaghetti? I don't know. Like. You would question things if it's somebody you trust. And then after that, you're mad at them because they betrayed your trust.
But this was a big thing. Hundreds of people were calling in to ask where they could get their own spaghetti tree.
Yeah. I mean, if you say it in the right place, they were tricked.
Yes.
But also, yes, at the same time, I was dumbfounded by the idea of like what people believe.
It would be like if David Attenborough got on TV and said, there's this creature that's a mammal. But lays eggs. Oh, actually, that is true. That's the platypus. The platypus, oh, yeah. The creature that should not
See?
Exist.
Again, now I'm just like...
It has a duck bill.
There's all these possibilities.
And it lays an egg.
You can't
yeah.
rule anything out.
Like, things are so weird. Anyway, so I thought that was hilarious.
That
and that was very cute. 1950s.
It is cute.
I mean, we're a little late
I do
for kinda, April
Fools. I kind of was wishing there was a spaghetti tree. I was...
I know. Actually, could I have a penne tree?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I really like my some penne or some rigatoni.
I was going to say rigatoni.
Yeah. A little spiral. Is that the spiral one? Penne is the tubes, right?
Yeah, penne is the tubes.
And rigatoni is a little, I like the little
Maybe,
spirals.
Is there a mini little orzo or is it, or you know, the little tiny ones that look almost like rice?
But yeah, that's orzo. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tiny tree. It's a bush. It's a shrub.
Yeah, that'd be a shrub. Exactly. Or grass. It's like quinoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the end of the grass. You pick the orzo.
Like, we're going with it. We're going to go with it. Yeah, this is a, yeah. I would have thought nobody would believe that. But then at the same time, COVID happened and I met the real world.
Right.
And what that there were really people that believed these crazy theories,
yeah,
or are more willing to believe something absolutely crazy than something that's actually factual, because it's just so much easier to believe. Like me saying, yeah, I want a spaghetti tree, like that would be better. So if I just go with that, I really want one and an orzo bush.
You know, this is actually something that you could do with your grandchildren.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a video from the 1950s, the video that they, because it was on BBC television. So you could find show it to your grandchildren. Just don't let them see the hoax part of it.
And see what they say. Yeah.
And see, what do you guys think? Should we try to grow a spaghetti tree?
Yeah, I'm going to do that with the big five.
And then you get just like a little, you get a little bit of spaghetti sauce and a little like an egg carton. And,
oh my gosh.
And put some
spaghetti. And then next sleepover.
Put a little bit of soil in each one and then a little dollop of spaghetti sauce and then plant a piece of pasta and ask them what kind of pasta they want to grow.
Oh my God. I'm going to invite you over for this. And then you're coming over.
You guys have to eat spaghetti for dinner or some sort of pasta or macaroni and cheese for dinner and be like, you want to grow a macaroni cheese?
Well,
I'm
that grandma. So it's like, what do you want for dinner? Order whatever they want for dinner. Each of them get different stuff, or I make different stuff. Like literally, it's a buffet. Oh my gosh. Disneyland, grandma.
You're terrible.
I had crossed the line when one day they wanted me to DoorDash from separate restaurants, each of them, and I was like doing it, and I'm like, oh, I'm a fool. Yes. I have fallen for them.
Okay, well, next time, now you have a game of trying to grow the...
Yeah, we should do that. We're going to do that.
Yes, I think that'd be fun.
I'm going to invite you.
But then how do we follow up with it when it's like we leave it at grandma's house?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Do we create some sort of spaghetti tree?
Do you get...
Tell them that's what it is.
Oh, what's a plant that has like long leaves or something, like long stringy leaves or seeds?
Yeah, so I'm kind of second guessing this a little bit as some of them have discovered the truth about Santa Claus.
Oh.
They're very mad at their liar parents who spent years tricking them. Well, so I don't know. I don't know. I'll think about this.
Okay.
Maybe as long as I bring it to a hoax real quick, maybe they won't be so horrified.
If you get it all the way to the part where they've planted pasta in this egg crate.
And then show them the hoax part. And actually, you know, it might be a good lesson, like don't believe everything you see lesson, especially since these kids are on internet all the time.
Yeah.
The oldest one, you know, my oldest grandson, who's very into this podcast, not that his mom lets him listen to all of them, but he just loves it. Anyway, he's like, Grandma, I want to do research for your podcast. Okay. Can I be a researcher? I'm like, yes. But the very first thing you need to research is how to be safe as a child on the internet. He's like, Grandma, I know how to do that already. Yet you're not my researcher yet.
Yeah, he's probably going to just get online immediately and be like, that's not true, Grandma. You tell him to say. Actually, I think at least one of them is smart enough to be like, psh, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm guessing the oldest one he'll be all into wanting to believe it, but he's too kind of smart to believe it. But he also loves all the imagination stuff.
Okay.
So I think he'll be torn on how to react to it. That's what my guess would be.
Do you think it would like suss it out immediately?
He would suss it out immediately.
Well, I think you should at least try it and see what happens.
I don't know. He did think that cows had four wieners.
I mean, if you look at it,
he legitimately.
It is between the legs.
Yes, I know. When I figured out what he was talking about, that they had four wieners, it took me a minute. I was like, oh, dang. I've never heard that, but that makes sense.
I mean, it's hanging between its legs. So yeah, if you don't know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor wieners.
So I saw something recently about like cows that actually, or it was either a goat or a cow that actually liked to drink its own milk. So it would suck its own teat. Mm. And then you're like, is that masturbatory?
I don't know. Is it self-sustaining? I don't know.
I don't know. Ask your daughter.
Yeah, I'm going to ask her.
Ask her. Hey, look, are those jugs big enough to get to your mouth? Have you ever thought about sucking on it once or twice? I have a friend.
Let's go awry.
Who already had giant nipples. Like you take like the first knuckle of your thumb.
Just normally just they were like that. Oh, gosh.
And then, yeah, when she was breastfeeding.
Oh, my God.
It was almost a full thumb.
It's a choker. It's choking her baby.
Like they were so big that they would push her bra away from her breast. And so she'd have a gap tented because of her nipple.
Her tented bra. That is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I would feel like, well, I guess, I don't know, you get used to it, but it feels like it'd be uncomfortable. I don't know.
Yeah, like it would always be like rubbing. Or,
and would they get bent and smashed and every once in a while? Like
both you and I, one hand on a microphone, one hand on our shit.
Check. Is my nipple like, comfortable?
Yeah,
my nipple's comfortable.
Yeah, my nipple's okay. We're both rubbing our boobs. If my neighbor comes by, the UPS man comes to the door. It'd be like that.
Those two ladies in there.
Paper shredder guy in your office this week. We're not going to say what it was about, but he was hearing, is that the butthole? No, that's not the butthole. It's between the butthole and the hoo-hoo. Anyways, we're a classy bunch. Okay, thanks.
Got a rye, as always. I digress.
All right, guys. Well, that was your 5 minute ready for this week. And it was nice to have Jody back. She was just popping in to visit her own podcast for a moment.
I was. And your dog.
And my dog. Yes. All right, guys.
And your cat. I shouldn't neglect your cat.
Yeah. Don't neglect Lynx. He's laying on the folder that he has now
claimed.
Put holes in. Claimed. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes. We thought maybe you had forgotten. How could you forget? We are your hosts, Shay
and Jody,
and you can find all things on our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com, like sources, notes, pictures, links, whatnot. That beautiful website is designed and managed by the amazing and talented Letha Davis at easybreezy.com. That's easy breezy, easybrzy.com. All episodes are edited and produced by me, Shay, and you can reach out with any questions or comments at shay@rainydayrabbitholes.com. That's S-H-E-A. Thanks for listening. Please share the podcast with your friends and family and stay curious.
See you down the rabbit hole.
Tired of sugar-coated news and corporate spin? Check out The Nicole Sandler Show, speaking truth to power with the irreverence it deserves. Smart, fearless, and just the right amount of snark. Nicole breaks down the headlines, exposes the hypocrisy, and talks with the people working for real change. Weekdays at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on Progressive Voices, NicoleSandler.com, Substack, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't just get the news, get the truth.